The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
There cannot be authentic belief without resting in what you believe has already been done. So this thing about Christians going around and say, I believe it. Somebody said, well, they said they believed. No. It's just like, it's the same thing with the tree. You can say you're an apple tree, but if you're not producing apples, then we have to question whether or not you are a legitimate apple tree. Somehow you've got a seed on the inside of you where you just can't believe you can receive something from God without you doing something to make it happen. And I'm telling you right now, we serve a Jesus who does not need you to be who he is, but we need him to be who we are.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Really, really big challenge here today. This is going to be good. We're going to talk about entering into the rest. And I'll spend several weeks on this. I really want to just bear down on this like a bulldog with a good bone, you know, and get out of it some things that I think will really help us a lot. Entering into the rest. Let's begin in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And let's just talk about some things here. Verse 1, he says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, when he talks about let us therefore fear, the word actually is translated to be cautious, to be aware, and to be diligent. So let us therefore be cautious, let us therefore be aware, and let us therefore be diligent. Why should we be cautious, aware, and diligent? And he says here, lest a promise being left us, and the promise is the promise of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of entering into his rest. And he says in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached. Now, the gospel referring here, unto us the gospel or the good news or the good news about this unmerited favor. The good news about grace. The gospel is the good news about this unmerited, undeserved favor. And you've had this gospel preached to you. This gospel of grace has been preached to you. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. I'm wondering, out of the last several years where this word has been preached, it should have profited you. But for those who have had no profit, the scripture is going to let us know why. Because that word of grace preached, that word of unmerited favor preached, should have profited you. But it did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I'm not saying you didn't have faith when you heard it, but I am in context here. The faith that I'll be referring to here and the faith that this is referring to is entering into the rest. Because the highest and the greatest form of faith that a man can walk in is to rest. Now, when I say rest, you know how church folks do. You know, I quit my job. Why? Well, pastor said it's time to rest. Well, what you gonna say when it's time to eat? That's certainly not what he's talking about here. You will discover as we go ahead in this today that when you're resting, you're entering into the trust and the confidence and the reliance upon what has already been done. You're resting because something's already been finished. You enter into the rest of something that's already completed. And so to rest does not mean to become idle. In fact, Paul said, I work more than all the disciples because of that grace on my life. To rest doesn't mean to become idle, to become passive. It means don't deal with it. It doesn't mean to ignore it as if it's not there. That's not what it means to rest. To rest means that while I'm working, I'm resting in confidence that while I'm working, that what is already finished is going to come to pass, which now equips me, enables me, inspires me to rest. It's not the carnal way of viewing rest where you are idle, that you don't do nothing, that you don't deal with it, that you ignore it. That's not the rest he's talking about. He's talking about entering into what's been finished for you. Entering into what has been done for you, leaning and now relying on what has already been done and accomplished for you. And so he says that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now look at verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So you hear Christians a lot saying, oh, I believe it. But now he says the true test of belief is that you enter into rest. Oh, I believe that God has healed me. Well, enter into rest. Well, I believe that the provision has already been made available. Well, enter into rest. Rest on that. Confidence on that. For a Christian to say, I believe something, but there is no rest, then wherever there's no rest, that belief is not authentic. It's just religious. It's not authentic until you're at rest in what he has done. Hallelujah. So you believe that by his stripes you're healed, then you enter in, and you enter into a place where you are now resting on that healing. You believe that there is no lack and your provisions are there, then you enter into that place where provisions have already been made. There cannot be authentic belief without resting in what you believe has already been done. So this thing about Christians going around and say, I believe it. Somebody said, well, they said they believed. No. It's just like, it's the same thing with the tree. You can say you're an apple tree, but if you're not producing apples, then we have to question whether or not you are a legitimate apple tree. Because you judge that tree by the fruit that it bears. Christians want to go around talking about, well, you know, that's what they say. Well, who is they? You know, what does the word say? And the word says that, you know, there are things that they did not get because it was not mixed with the faith of resting. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. See, I'm entering into the rest because, notice, I am resting because it is finished. Oh, glory. I enter into the rest because it's finished. When God was making the heavens and the earth, the Bible says he rested on the Sabbath day. Why? Because he was finished. Did he rest because he was tired? No. Did he rest because he was irritable? No. He rested because he was finished. Amen. Did he rest because he didn't want to deal with it? No. He rested because it was finished. And the purpose and the reason why we are to enter into a rest is because it's finished. That everything that we will face in our life and everything that we'll face in circumstances and situations, it's finished. You know, I discovered that, you know, the circumstances that surround you that become problems, those things can't become problems unless you react in a way to make it a problem. The way you react to a situation determines if it's going to be a problem for you. So there are things that are happening in your life all the time. Some of the same thing can be happening in somebody else's life. It's not a problem. Something happened in your life, it's a problem. Why? Because it being a problem is based on how I react to it. And it's hard for something to become a problem when you enter into the rest because it's already finished. And so they can send bill after bill after bill, but you resting in provision, provision, provision that's already done. Are you following what I'm saying? You're finding peace and confidence and rest in what's already done. And that's what happens. There is no way for you to maintain your peace and to maintain your rest. I tell you, you will prosper in everything you do. To maintain your peace and to maintain your rest, you will prosper in everything that you do. But we're resting because it's finished. We're resting because it's finished. Glory to God. We're resting because it's finished. It's hard for me to rest when I don't know it's done. But when you are a Christian and you're born again and Jesus has finished the thing, it's done by his blood, it's done by what he did, then I can rest because it's finished. And every time the enemy throws anything towards me, I just look at him and say, dude, didn't you get the memo? It's finished. The doctors tell you, well, you're going to die tomorrow. No, you'll die next week. No, you'll be dead by tonight. You say, doc, I got another memo. It's finished. Even by your response, I'm going to prove to you why you respond like that, because you don't believe. See, it's easy for Christians. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe. No, you don't. You're not even resting in your shouting. You're struggling there. Because when you know it's done, you can, oh, thank you. You can do it. You can, your shout just smooth, like, You know, you ain't got to be beating the ground. You're struggling and you're shouting. You ain't. All right, I apologize. Let me ask. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place. He spake of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. So now he's getting ready to show you a word picture. And he uses something in the old covenant. He spoke of this in Exodus chapter 20. Could we go there for a moment? Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8 through 11. He spoke about a day. And please understand that we're now going into the shadow of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's good. The Old Testament is the shadow of Jesus. And notice what he says here in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 and 11. Now, I want you to hear how he's talking about the fact that we're dealing with a day. And look at verse 8 and I'll read through 11. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9. He says, 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work. 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. In the Sabbath, you shouldn't do any work. Thou nor thy sons or daughter or manservants or maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Look at verse 11. And he says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, he says, and he rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. Now notice why God rested the seventh day. He was done. He was finished. It's the same reason a lawyer says to a judge when he's finished laying his case out, he says, I rest my case. Not because I'm tired of talking. The lawyer don't go to the judge and say, Judge, I'm tired. I rest. No, he says, I'm done. I rest my case. Glory be to God. I rest my case. And God rested on the Sabbath. And he uses the day as a word picture. This is a shadow of the body that is to come. So now what happened is most people went to the old covenant, read Exodus, and started a big argument on what day do you worship the Lord? And they put emphasis on the day. Well, y'all wrong. You ought to worship the Lord on Saturday. Well, we worship on Sunday. Well, y'all out of order. Well, you know what? I didn't know what to do about that years ago, so I just decided I'm just going to worship the Lord every day. But it ain't got nothing to do with the day. And so if you go over to Colossians chapter 2, he begins now to tell you what this is all about. Isn't it amazing? Right in the book, in Hebrews, he's talking about rest, and he takes a detour to talk about the Sabbath. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, he says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat. Let no man judge you in drink or in respect of a holy day. Let no man judge you of the new moon. Let no man judge you of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body that produced that shadow is of Christ." So now what is he saying? He's saying Jesus is your Sabbath. Say it out loud. Jesus is my Sabbath. And Jesus is my rest. So what does that all mean? I mean, it sounds real nice and cool. Praise the Lord, Jesus is my Sabbath. Here's what it means. He is your source. He is now your source. He is the one that you depend on. He is the one where you find rest. Whenever you see stuff that's going on in your life, you realize that Jesus has already finished everything that needs to be finished. So now I can enter into the rest of the finished works of Jesus Christ. I can enter into the rest that I am already healed. I am already delivered. I am already prosperous. I'm already sound. I'm already everything I'll need on this planet because of Jesus the body. I now enter into him. He is my source. He is the one I rely on. He's the one I depend on. I rest in what he has done. I got the memo. He's finished the work. Now I rest in the finished works of Jesus Christ. He is my Sabbath. Amen. So go back to Hebrews chapter 4. This is my foundation for this series. Now, in verse 5, "And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest," if they shall enter into my rest, "seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, they entered not in." Why? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. What unbelief? I don't believe it's finished. I don't believe the issue I'm dealing with is finished. I don't believe the circumstance that I'm in, I don't believe it's already done and Jesus has already taken care of it. That is the number one thing religion continues to try to tell people. That's not, religion says you still got to work to try to get it finished. You got to do all these spiritual things to try to get it finished. And the truth of the matter is Jesus finished it all. We rehearse it every Easter. It is finished. And don't even know what we're talking about. What you think you're talking about? It is finished. It is done. Everything that you'll ever need for this life, it is finished. But some did not enter into the rest. And you're not going to enter into the rest if you don't believe that Jesus did it all. And if you don't believe that Jesus is enough, you won't enter into the rest. And if you believe what religion tells you, that you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do that in order for do it. See, what's happening is you believe that it's through your works and your efforts that somehow that's how you going to get prosperous and that's how you going to get healed and that's how you going to get delivered. You got to do the 7 steps of this and the 12 steps of that. And anytime you start adding steps to Jesus, you're saying Jesus is not enough. That's why I got to add something. But I tell you right now, Jesus is not just enough. He more than enough. But see, what you can't see and what you can't feel and what you can't see manifested right away begins to work on your thinking that maybe it's not finished. And if I don't do something to make something happen, because after all, God helps those who helps themselves. 2 things about that. Number one, that's nowhere in the Bible. God did not say that. Benjamin Franklin said that. And number two, God does not help those who help themselves. According to the grace of God, he helps the helpless. Somehow religion has tricked you into thinking that if it's going to happen for you, you're going to have to make it happen. Somehow you've got a seed on the inside of you where you just can't believe you can receive something from God without you doing something to make it happen. And I'm telling you right now, we serve a Jesus who does not need you to be who he is, but we need him to be who we are. And without him, you can do nothing. You can't do nothing of your own. But with him, you can do all things. And this life is a life where you're walking around convinced that no matter what circle you're standing in, it is finished. Well, all right, watch this. Well, if it's finished, then how come I ain't got a job? I don't know. Ask Jesus. See, because I ain't with you 24 hours a day. I don't know. Maybe you took rest literally and you won't go out and look for one because you're just resting. See, that's not what it means. If you want a job, you go look for a job like a job, and you're resting in God that your job is there, and he's going to lead you and guide you and show you and tell you and talk to you and do all those things. You're resting that it's there. You're so sure it's there that you're going to get it. So he goes on here and he's saying, verse 5, and in his place, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Unbelief. Basically what God is saying, if you will just believe, all things are possible to them that believe, but unbelief. I don't know if God can do nothing about that. What are you going to do for somebody who won't believe it's done? And when you don't believe it's done, what you going to do? Go try to do something, try to get it done. And you're going to sing until you break out in a sweat. And you're going to dance until you fall out. And when you get up, you're still going to be broke and sick. You're going to holler, you're going to scream. You're going to run. You're going to do everything you can. And that ain't nothing wrong with that if you're doing it knowing it's done out of celebration.